One of the reasons we don't have our biggest breakthrough is because we don't obey. We take in content, but we don't apply it. It took 3 years, but I was privileged to lead my mom to Christ when I was 15 years old and disciple her. So my big breakthrough came hearing the gospel myself, trusting in Christ, and seeing my whole family transformed by the power of the gospel. Teens come to Christ quicker. They spread the gospel faster. They're an unstoppable force. Every world religion is a ladder. You got to climb. Only Christianity is a chair. When Jesus died on the cross, paid the price for our sins, and we rest on what he has done. Our primary job as parents is to build a lighthouse with our lives and with our message that is so big and so bright that even if our kids stray out of the harbor, when the storm hits, they know where home is.
Stories stir the soul.
Stories reveal.
And stories heal.
In this podcast, we will give you an inside look at someone who's had a life-changing breakthrough.
Real people, real stories with real breakthroughs. As a health and wellness expert and coach, and Todd as a men's mentor,
we've seen firsthand what God can do when it comes to a breakthrough. So lean in, listen well. This could be your biggest breakthrough.
Hello, and welcome to Your Biggest Breakthrough. I'm your host, Wendy Pett.
I'm Todd Isburner. Wendy Pett, I've got a question for you.
Okay, Todd Isburner. So You're so weird. I don't know why you do that.
I don't know. I love the name. So, true or false, you enjoy sharing the gospel with strangers every single day, and you can't wait for the next opportunity.
Oh, true. 100% true, true, true. Okay, I wish it was true.
In your head, that's true.
Oh, my gosh.
You wish it were true.
I wish I had the courage and the boldness I do share the gospel.
Do.
Don't
yes,
get me
do.
Wrong.
Think about that same question being asked of just the average teenager today. Do you share the gospel? Do you enjoy sharing the gospel? What do you think their answer would be?
They're probably like, no, I don't share the gospel. I want to keep my friends.
Right, exactly. Well, this is what's going to really encourage you today. Whether you're shy about sharing your faith or you think the teens are shy, you're going to hear all about some very encouraging news about how teens are becoming more and more bold as they're equipped to share the gospel and how this can apply to you as well.
Yes, this generation matters.
Oh, well, Greg Steer is our guest. He's an evangelist. He's an author. He's a speaker. He's a founder of Dare to Share Ministries. Maybe you've heard of that. It's a ministry that for 34 years has been helping empower youth to share their faith with people that they encounter every single day. And it's very, very impactful.
It really is. And he has authored over 20 books, and he is passionate. I mean, passionate, and you're going to hear that, about helping every teenager hear the gospel from a friend. His favorite roles, though, are husband to his wife, Debbie, and dad to Jeremy. So,
I was going to say, and you know, we start out with Greg's story. You'll be hanging on
you
the edge
hear
of your
this.
Seat. This is a crazy story, and you're going to enjoy it.
Enjoy the show. Well, welcome, Greg Steer, to Your Biggest Breakthrough. It's a delight to have you with us.
So glad to be here on the show. It's going to be fun.
Man, you know what? We feel like we're a little connected already because Greg has been to our church, Grace
numerous
church,
times.
Numerous times. He's like, you said it's like, what, a home away from home?
Yeah, I call my church away from home.
Yeah.
And whenever Pastor Troy needs a break, I'm like, put me in, coach.
We're always just in awe of the energy you have up on stage and your passion for just your love of Jesus. It's just amazing.
Yeah, you're one of the most fun speakers to listen to. Plus, you're an incredible author. I just have to hold this up for a minute because I don't know if it'll come out backwards or not on camera,
Radical
but it's called
like
Radical
Jesus.
Like Jesus. Greg, I picked that book up when you made that
a while
available.
Back. Yeah.
And I just really didn't like it and loved it.
And loved it at the same time, yeah.
So I just want to encourage our listeners, if you really want to get shook loose a little bit here, you really need to pick up a book like that. And I love the way you put in these little challenges at the end of every chapter. And then you rated them.
Yeah, and easy, medium, difficult. I think one of the reasons we don't have our biggest breakthrough is because we don't obey. We take in content, right? But we don't apply it. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus, through James tells us, be doers of the word, not hearers only. And so I wrote this book, kind of like snapshots of the life of Christ.
Yeah.
But then what can we do to take a step closer to become like him and find our breakthrough through Jesus. And so, yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed it and hated it. And
It's so convicting, but it's really great if you want to really be serious about growing and sharing. That's the book to go to.
Well, let's go right to your breakthrough.
Yeah,
your biggest breakthrough.
You know, as I mentioned, you're one of the most energetic speakers on evangelism we've ever encountered. We love the enthusiasm, but you don't just speak about it; you actually live it out. But it had to start somewhere. So take us back to the beginning. Like, what were the initial beginnings of your faith journey, your breakthrough?
Yeah, I was just a scared little kid in North Denver. You know, every city has got a city within the city. And the highest crime rate area in the 60s and 70s in Denver was North Denver. It was mafia controlled. It was the center of the American Chicano Revolution. My family lived right at the intersection between the Latinos and the Italians, and there was like gang warfare, and my family loved it. My uncles were bodybuilders and street fighters and in and out of jail. My ma was tough. She would fight with a baseball bat. You know, she had five tough brothers. She was like the woman at the well with the baseball bat.
That's good.
I never knew my biological father. I was a result of a short-term relationship she had with a guy. And then she found out she was pregnant, drove from Denver to Boston to abort me. And while staying with my Uncle Tommy and Aunt Carol, my Uncle Tommy was stationed in the Navy. They talked her out of it. They had recently become believers. They talked her out of over a couple months. And she came back in shame and had me. And, you know, I was just scared. I was not a tough kid at all. I was terrified. I was like young Sheldon in the hood, terrified kid around like, how'd I get here? And I'm in my own house. I'm like, what in the world is happening? Why is everybody so angry? Why is there blood everywhere? It was just
with their hands. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I joke about it now, but I was a traumatized kid. I mean, people talk about trauma today. I'm like, okay. I know trauma. I know hiding behind the couch. So, you know, one of my uncles who's covered in blood doesn't come and burn me with his cigar trauma. That sort of stuff. It just terrified me. And a hillbilly preacher, nicknamed Yankee for whatever reason, planted a church in the suburbs and on a dare reached my toughest uncle, my Uncle Jack, with the gospel. My Uncle Jack had gone to jail for choking two cops out at the same time. Uncle Jack was a bodybuilder. He literally looks like the Wolverine.
Uncle Jack was jacked.
Wow.
Uncle Jack was jacked. They were into bodybuilding before it was like a thing, you know? And they did it just for maximum punching power. And, this preacher just went to his door, bold as a lion, on a Saturday morning and knocked on the door. Said, I'm here on a dare from Bob Daly he said it with a Southern accent. I'm here on a dare from Bob Daly to tell you about Jesus. My Uncle Jack, no shirt on, two beer cans, one for beer, one for chew, you know, you don't want to get those mixed up. Goes, all right, I don't know Jesus. I know Bob. I'll give you 5 minutes. And in that 5 minutes, he explained that Jesus came to die for sinners, just like Jack, that salvation was not by being good. It was by faith alone in Christ. And if he trusted in him, he'd be forgiven for all of his sins, past, present, and future, and given a new heart, new life, and go to heaven someday and have a purpose in life today. And he said, does that make sense? My Uncle Jack didn't know any better. He goes, hell yeah. That was a sinner's prayer. And he trusted in Christ. And it began a domino effect in my family. One by one by one, my family came to Christ. I came to Christ. Went to Yankees youth group at like 12. Got trained to share my faith. The first person on my heart was my ma. Mm-hmm. And I went back and sharing the gospel with her. And she's like, God can never forgive me for all my sins. And I just say, he died for them all. It took 3 years, but I was privileged to lead my ma to Christ.
Wow.
And when I was 15 years old and disciple her. So my big breakthrough came hearing the gospel myself, trusting in Christ, and seeing my whole family transformed by the power of the gospel. That's why I'm so passionate. That's why when I preach, my veins pop on my neck and I sweat. I once at Grace Church made the mistake of wearing a light jacket and I sweat through
soaked
Tommy Boy sweat rings. And somebody after goes,
listen, man, people love that.
You
they
need
absolutely
a jacket?
Love that. Did you mention your eyes bulge too when you're up there preaching?
Yeah, I know. I'm like crazy eyes. They gave me a jacket. They gave me a black jacket out of the lost and found that I still have to this day.
So we have such a good giving church like that. Yeah. No, you know, here's what I love is that, you know, God will use anybody to share his love and to share the truth. And it just takes that instant willing heart to receive. And look at the ripple effect and the domino effect. And so now you have dedicated, because of what God's done in your life and your family, you've dedicated your life to reaching teenagers for the gospel. Yeah. Like, why teenagers?
Well, you know, Yankee, who's still alive, by the way, and oh, wow, just passed 4 million views on his YouTube channel.
Oh, man, we need Yankee oh,
yeah,
on.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah.
He's 83 years old, travels the nation in a Breaking Bad RV and preaches the gospel. I love it. I talk to him every month. I call him every month.
Man.
He's a King James only, you know, old school, yeah, dispensational.
Bring it.
He loves the Lord, man. he had 800 teenagers in his youth group, only 300 adults in the church. Hmm. Because he believed teens, and he was right, teens come to Christ quicker, they spread the gospel faster. They're an unstoppable force. Mm-hmm. And so I felt as an inner city kid who didn't know his dad, you know, came from this wild background. I come in, I have the three things every teen needs. What do teens need? The three biggest questions, according to Dr. Kara Powell, who wrote a book called The Three Big Questions Every Teen Asks. Identity, who am I? Mm-hmm. Belonging, where do I fit? Mm-hmm. Purpose, why am I here?
Yeah.
Identity, yeah, as a child of God, that's the gospel, right? Belonging with the people of God, and then purpose at the mission of God.
Yeah.
And so the reason I focus on teens is because I saw the transformation in my whole city. My city was shaken. Arvada, Colorado was shaken. Wow. Through one hillbilly preacher that mobilized teenagers. And I thought, well, if this can happen here, what would happen if youth leaders around the world mobilize their teenagers to make and multiply disciples?
Yeah.
Two things would happen. The gospel would go forth, and we wouldn't be losing as many teens after they graduate from high school.
Mm.
Yeah. Because they're on mission. We'd, yeah, send them out instead of lambs to the slaughter. We send them as missionaries to the mission field.
It's so good. You know, this like brings up, because of current events, with the wake of Charlie Kirk's assassination. I'm just curious, are you seeing like an uptick with the teenagers?
Yeah. We're seeing downloads. Like massive downloads of our evangelism training curriculum.
Praise God.
I mean, yeah, it's been like, what? I'm telling leaders is the wind of revival is blowing.
Mm, hallelujah.
We have to capture that wind and make sure that we are focusing it on, you know, our master and commander's prime directive, which is go and make disciples of all nations. This is an opportunity to harness the wind and focus it toward helping teenagers make disciples who make disciples, see true and lasting revival. You know, when we die and sin before God, he's not going to ask us how we voted, right?
Right.
He's going to ask us, you know, who do you say, you know, the son is, you know, Jesus is. And that, you know, and I do think there is you can kind of see a conservative uprising, but also a parallel spiritual uprising that's happening. And I don't know, you know, the social reasons why and all that stuff. I just know the wind is blowing and we got to capture it and focus it on advancing the kingdom of God and the message of Christ far and wide, not just in the U.S., but around the world.
Greg, you've seen a lot over the more than 30 years that you've been doing this. And I'm just curious, you know, and this is an incredible uptick, like you said, on what's going on right now because of the Charlie Kirk assassination. But in general, what's kind of the current trends that you see among teenagers today in regards to their own spirituality? Like where are they at and why?
Yeah, you know, I think the difference between like 30 years ago and now, I think, you know, 30 years ago, there was a general kind of basic Christian understanding and view and acceptance. Even if they weren't Christians, they kind of knew the basics, right? And I think now we're almost more Hindu than Christian. Mm. What I mean by that is not technically Hindu, but in, you know, Hinduism, there's like, what, 33 million gods, whatever. So kids are very spiritual, like Hindus are, but they're like, oh yeah, Jesus, you kind of throw him in, and yeah, Buddha, and I mean, yeah, Allah, I'm sure Muhammad and those guys are, I mean, just as find a path, and as long as you're sincere. And you know, Jesus stands in stark contrast to that. He says, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, broad is the road that leads to destruction, Narrow is the path that leads to eternal life, and he is the narrow path.
Yeah. Don't you think this phone, this social media aspect of things is one of the reasons for that?
Oh, yeah, because you're getting getting thousands of worldviews a day for a teenager you know, 10-second bites. And so it all sounds like true and right and whatever. And so I think to help them really understand, and what I find on the advantage side is when teens really understand the gospel, Christianity sets itself apart. So somebody, there was a group of philosophers, theologians arguing once, I think at Oxford or Cambridge, wherever C.S. Lewis went. And they were talking about what sets Christianity apart. And so he was walking through and they said, what do you think sets Christianity apart? And he goes, easy, grace. So the way I describe it is every world religion is a ladder. You got to climb, right? You got the seven sacraments.
Work your way to it.
The five pillars of Islam. You have the eightfold path of Buddhism. You have the doctrines and covenants. You have all these rungs you got to climb. You know, ten commandments of Judaism. All this stuff. Every religion has got rungs you climb to nirvana or heaven or paradise or whatever it is, right? Or to peace. Only Christianity is a chair. When Jesus died on the cross, paid the price for our sins, past, present, future, said, it is finished.
Yeah.
And we rest, just like I'm sitting down, just like you're sitting down, we rest on what he has done. And some people say, well, that's too easy. Well, I'm like, you know, it's so easy a child could do it, and it's so challenging a religious person could choke on it. So, you know, to rest and say, I can't save myself, only you can save me, takes an act of humility and say, you know, I'm a sinner and I need a savior. That sets Christianity apart, that and the resurrection.
Yeah.
Yes.
So for those young people who, you know, they're kind of stuck in that spiral of spirituality and they don't know the truth yet. You know, there's a concern that to the degree that they do know something about the faith, that they're just going to walk away from it. And so how do you, especially for parents right now, how do you help encourage parents to help prevent them from walking away from the faith? Because you're seeing this too. You're seeing Christian kids quote Christian kids, and they're really not plugged in solidly. And so they're like just kind of drifting away. What do we do about that?
Well, you know, one thing is you got to realize it can happen to anybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, it happened to God. I mean, he made Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
It gave them a perfect setting. They only had one rule. Don't eat fruit from that fruit bowl. That was it.
Yeah. Right. Good point.
Like, and they blew it. So I would say, you know, I had it all figured out before we had kids.
Yeah.
We had two, you know, we went through one of those, you know, those classes, like how do you grow kids, you know, after God and stuff. And it made it sound like bowling. Like you follow the arrows and you'll get a strike or a square.
Yeah.
It's, you know what? It's like pinball. I'm just pushing buttons and praying. And calling out to God, nothing more humbling than being a spouse and being a parent. And what I've come to this conclusion is, yeah, we have to do the right things. Our primary job as parents is to build a lighthouse with our lives and with our message that is so big and so bright that even if our kids stray out of the harbor, when the storm hits, they know where home is.
Ah, that's so
that
good.
That is beautiful.
You know, I know, man.
Honestly.
So we build it. We shine. Yeah. I praise God for two adult children. My daughter, today is her 21st birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
She loves Jesus. My son loves Jesus. He married a girl that loves Jesus.
Praise God.
Was it due to us? Yeah, we did some things right. We did a lot of things wrong. But we just kept going back and we're authentic with our kids and ask forgiveness when we need to ask forgiveness and try to discipline them consistently and point them to Jesus and figure stuff out. And by God's grace, they're both serving the Lord. You know, if they both weren't serving the Lord, and we, you know, that could have happened because they have to make their own choices. Again, I think our job is to, you know, because there may be some parents listen to this and say, you know, my kids have rebelled. I've screwed up. That can be, we all get welcome to life. We all screw up. But Satan can use that as a stronghold in your life to tear you down to the ground. You need to see that whatever those sins were, nailed to the cross, move ahead, keep praying for your kids.
Amen.
Prayer builds your faith, and prayer causes God to act.
Yes, it changes the circumstance.
It changes. So I love the illustration of prayers like chopping down a tree, right? The bigger the tree, the more swings it takes, right? So you may have a rebellious child. You just keep praying. You keep praying. You keep praying. And it may take years. But when God yells timber and they fall to the feet of Christ and say, I'm back, two things have happened. God has answered your prayer and you become spiritually jacked. Like Uncle Jack.
Like Uncle Jack. I love
it. Because your prayer has been built, you know.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. No, that's so good. I love it. Well, as founder and visionary of Dare to Share, you guys have all conducted just massive research into youth ministry and evangelism. I'm just curious, like, what have you found, especially recently, with the research that you've conducted?
Yeah. I mean, it's been very encouraging.
Good.
A typical youth ministry versus what we call a gospel advancing one. In other words, a youth ministry that says, you know what, we're going to not just entertain our students. We're not just going to have fun and games. We're not just going to do songs and a short lesson. All, you know, again, I love games and all. I'm not saying those are bad, but we're also going to mobilize our students as missionaries.
Yes.
And we're going to equip them to articulate the gospel and mobilize them throughout the week to make disciples of their friends.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference between those two kinds of youth groups, we researched through Clarity Research, 586 youth groups. And what became clear is a gospel advancing group versus a typical group, 3 times overall growth, 3 times more teenagers discipling other teenagers, 10 times more gospel conversations per student. A gospel advancing teenager shares Christ 50 times a year versus 5 for the typical kid in the typical youth group.
Wow.
That's huge.
I mean, it's just 40% more likelihood of a conversion because it's one of their friends that's talking to them. 50% more likelihood of that kid getting plugged into the youth group. So I feel like we're, you know, and at Dare to Share, you know, we have got what we call gospel advancing leaders, youth leaders around the world. We have about 40,000 youth ministries around the world that are implementing this.
Wow.
Fantastic.
And, but our prayer is 1 million. Because with 1 million, every teen everywhere, well, all 1 billion of them will hear the gospel from a friend.
Yeah, wow.
Well, it will happen.
I think
it
one of the encouraging things about your research is that it helps convince the rather skeptical youth leader or parent who believes, look, try as I will, my kid's not going to get interested in sharing their faith. And there's that sort of built-in assumption that there's a reluctance for their team to go share. But then you're finding out both through your research and then the practical application that that's the opposite is true. The more they're.
Yeah. You got to give them gospel. There's 3 things they need: gospel urgency, fluency, and strategy. So gospel urgency is why would I risk my social equity to engage my classmates in the gospel when they can make fun of me? So we have a big answer to that question. One of the answers is hell. Like, your friends are going to die and go to hell unless they hear and believe Christ. I was talking about hell to a youth group. This teenager come up to me. She goes, why has my youth leader never told me about hell? I did not realize this. This is like a big deal. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, which makes me want to ask you, you know, are there people that don't even believe in hell that did you talk to? Because it seems like everyone's, you know, they understand heaven, but hell, they're just like, eh. They dismiss it.
You know, here's my thing. I think down deep underneath.
We all know.
Underneath it all. Mm. We all know.
Sure.
We all know there's a heaven. Yeah. We all know there's a hell. We all know there's a God.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, every world religion is trying to make it out of their, you know, into their version of heaven and out of their version of hell. There's always some, and I think it's kind of wired into us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just hell. Like, I would say a balanced view is motivate teenagers to rescue their friends from the hell they're headed to and the hell they're going through.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So it's not just eternal life someday. It's quality of life with God today.
That's good.
Keeping those two things in balance. And once teenagers get that urgency, then you give them the fluency, you know, and then you give them some sort of strategy to share the gospel. The worst thing you could do is just say, oh, here's a whole method to share your faith. You're like, okay, you have to inspire them.
Yeah.
You have to help them know the gospel, and then you can mobilize them.
Yeah. That's good.
Your Dare to Share is put together so well as a resource in your app in terms of the simplicity of sharing the gospel, because a lot of people shy away because they think, I don't know enough about the Bible. My theology might be a little wobbly. But you really boil it down to some very simplistic strategies, if you will. I'm thinking, though, about, you know, the church leaders and the youth leaders who are beginning to know how to apply this. But what about just the average parent who's listening and say, well, I'd like to be equipping my kid. I'm not sure where to start. Where do I start, Greg? What do I do today to help equip my son or daughter?
Well, that's a great question. Number one is, you are parents. You are the number one youth leader. So just know that, you know, I mean, you're crucial in this process. Two is, you, before you equip, you must, you know, before you export, you must grow, right? So you must do this
yourself.
Like, if you're not, you know, our kids learn how to share their faith from watching my wife and I at restaurants engage servers and all talking to neighbors. If we forgot, our kids would say, hey, we got to tell them. Oh, yeah, that's right.
It was
just naturally part. Again, this is, I want to be like Planet Fitness, no guilt zone here.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever the past is past, start now.
Yeah.
Start asking your servers at restaurants, is there any way we can pray for you or your barista or your neighbor? Bring it up and let your kids see you bring it up.
Yeah.
And I do on our website, I have it's just, if you Google on YouTube, Greg Steer, Crash Course in Evangelism, there's a 5-minute training. Huh. And it's very simple, right? To share the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just encourage you to do that. And the other thing you could do too is, every November we do the Day of Global Youth Evangelism, and it's free. It's 2 hours of inspiration, training, super interactive. I encourage you to do it at your church, but you can do it in your home. We've had parents do it with, bring their, you know, kids together and bring their friends over, and it's highly inspirational. And, you know, last year we had 6,000 churches and 59,000 teens and 110 countries participate.
Is that something people can sign up for at your website?
Yeah. If they just go to daretoshare.org, it's under events. It's called the Day of Global Youth Evangelism.
Perfect.
It used to be called Dare to Share Live, but we changed the name because it's getting global now, and not everybody in every country knows what a Dare to Share is. So
yeah. Well, maybe you can also explain to us about a gospel advancing movement. Tell us a little bit more about just the movement.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've heard the term gospel centered for a long time, and I know what they mean. But the problem is, you know, to me, it sounds like a bunch of people sitting around watching John Piper videos or something. We're gospel-centered. It's like, put them on your podcast list and go advance the gospel.
Yes.
Don't just exegete it, execute it, right? And so, yes, we need to understand the gospel, and we need to center around the message of the gospel and understand what that message is. It's not a complicated message, by the way.
Yeah. People make
John 3:16. Yeah, we overcomplicate it, right?
Yeah.
We put layers on it and whatever. John 3:16 is a fine, like, encompassment of that simple gospel message, right? But we have to share it out loud with words. So some people say, well, I just live it. I'm like, okay.
Especially here in Minnesota, a bunch of Scandinavians up here.
Oh. Yeah, that's right. Minnesota, right. Nice. Yep. No, I don't want to fly on a one-winged airplane, right?
Right.
Living it is only one of the wings. Mm-hmm. Giving it is the other wing.
That's
and
good.
We need Love both.
That. That's so
live
good.
It and give it, right? There's something inherently powerful in the message. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. You know, it's like a grenade. It doesn't matter who pulls the pin. It could be a 12-year-old girl. It could be a 30-year-old Marine. It doesn't matter. It's going to explode.
It's going to go off. Mm-hmm.
the gospel, you pull the pen, share that message, it's got power. Doesn't matter if it's Billy Graham, doesn't matter if it's Troy Dobbs, doesn't matter if it's a 12-year-old girl.
Yeah, I see a t-shirt coming up. Live it, give it.
Yeah, okay. There you go. Greg, we're going to start to wrap things up, but you have seen a lot in your 30-plus years of doing this ministry, working with all these teens. You've seen different things happen just socially and culturally. And right now, it seems like we're maybe already on the precipice of an even greater explosion than ever. But I want you to give us your perspective on where you believe things are headed. What do you see God doing in the years to come?
You know, I believe we could be on the precipice of a global spiritual awakening.
Yes.
And my prayer, you know, I'm a pre-everything.com guy. I'm pre-trip, pre-mill, all that stuff. I may be wrong, but, you know, if I'm right, my prayer is we're going to go into the final great harvest before the return of Christ. Mm. And whether he comes tomorrow, he's supposed to come yesterday, according to some people.
Yeah, so right.
There's the date.
Nobody knows. Remember, nobody knows.
The only dates we should pick are in the grocery store. Or from trees. But what if this was the time? And so I think it's time for action. And either way, it's time for action. Somebody said we should live like Christ died yesterday, rose again this morning, coming back again tonight. And so let's get on it. Let's share the good news. Let's not be ashamed.
Exactly. Beautiful. Be bold and be courageous and just live it and give it. I love it. Okay. So let's wrap this up a little bit. And I'm sure a lot of people ask you this on closing of podcast interviews, but is there a certain scripture verse that you and your family kind of camp on that's kind of your life verse, anything like that? I'm sure you have multiple.
You know, yeah, I think Colossians 1:28-29. We proclaim him, admonishing everyone, teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. Yeah. And this we do, struggling with all of his energy, which so powerfully works within us.
Ah.
So good. So,
grab onto that one, folks. Hold on to that one. That's a good one.
Yeah. That's
Greg,
so
thank
good.
You, man. It's just
thank
been a real you. Pleasure, and it's been an honor. We're going to pray for you. You're doing a great work, your whole team. I want to encourage people to get over to the website and sign up for things. Grab these resources. Your app is incredibly simple and useful.
Yes.
So thanks for being such a motivator, inspirer, and living it out yourself.
You bet. Thanks so much, and look forward to seeing you when I'm back up. Preaching at Grace again, God willing.
Likewise. All right. God bless you, Greg. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Take care. Well, that's a wrap for today's show. We hope you enjoyed it. As always, we love spending time with you right here on Your Biggest Breakthrough podcast. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode. But until then, just head on over to yourbiggestbreakthrough.com, where you'll find some free resources and information and a place where you can comment. And we would love to dialogue with you there. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.